The following is an exclusive presentation of WI Garden Media, the voice of Garden Talk Radio.
Coming up on the program today, we're going to talk about water features on your property as well as living walls. Our guest is author and podcaster Christy Purifay, and we'll answer your garden questions. The hour is full, so join us.
You are listening to the most informationally packed hour of garden-focused radio in the country and on the internet with your host, husband and wife team Joey and Holly Baird. This is the Gardening with Joey and Holly radio show.
And welcome to the Gardening with Joey and Holly radio show. Thank you for taking time out of your day to join us on the program. I'm your host, Joey Baird. Beside me is my wife, co-host, best friend, and gardening partner,
Holly Baird.
This program is for you, about you, to help your garden grow better, to maintain your landscape, grow healthier trees, make your grass look greener, as well as preserving what you grow. Thank you for tuning in, whether you're listening to us on one of the 20 AM and FM frequencies broadcasting our program here in 2023 through our parent website, thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com, underneath the Season 7 tab at the top of the page, podcast replay, or in-studio video replay. We thank you for consuming the program. If you want to be part of the program, you can certainly submit your question, comment to us via email at gardentalkradio@gmail.com. That's gardentalkradio@gmail.com, or give us a call toll-free coast-to-coast at 1-800-927-SHOW. That's 1-800-927-7469. Well, Holly, people like to incorporate things into their property, not just a garden or a couple of trees, but some people may want to bring in water features, not only for the aesthetic appeal of it, but for the sounds, for the nature that it brings in. So water features is what we're going to talk about.
It can also be calming.
Calming, relaxing.
Meditative.
Mm-hmm. Mental resetting.
Right.
Yeah. Same thing as meditating.
Yeah, definitely. And one thing I did learn is that it won't necessarily decrease your property value, but it won't really increase it either. It's kind of one of those neutral things.
It will increase the value of, I want that property, if you decide to sell it when the right person, the right person for every property. You just got to find them.
Absolutely. What are you, a realtor?
I don't know.
There's a few things to consider before you do this. One is that what are you trying to achieve with including a water feature? So like you had said, is it a calming thing? Is it a look of it, the aesthetic? Maybe you want some koi or something like
right.
that.
Because if you don't know what your end goal is, you can throw a lot of money at this very, very quickly and not get anything accomplished.
Absolutely. And I would note that you could probably have koi in the Midwest in an outdoor pond for part of the summer,
yes.
but they are a warm...
Your mileage may vary.
Right. So keep that in mind too. So we also have a great resource for you. It's aqua-mart.com.
Correct. They have anything and everything you possibly need for your water feature, pumps, filtrations, installation, lighting, decorative plant care, fish care, water temperature measuring devices. They've got multiple brands, and it's all can be found at aqua-mart.com. And again, with any of our sponsors and any of the coupon codes we mentioned through the program, our parent website, which is thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com, has all of that listed under the Season 7 tab and the Money tab. So all the resources and everything is at one central location.
It's also advised to, if you're not sure if you want this water feature for sure, or how you feel about it, or if it's like something that you want to commit to, or anything you're going to add to your yard, it's not a bad idea to block that area off and then think about, okay, this is where it's going to go, and kind of visualize it.
And what other things are going to potentially interfere with that, meaning wildlife, or in inhibiting the procedure of getting from one part of the yard to the other? Is it blocking major traffic flows that you would normally take, like trying to get to the mailbox? You have to walk around an extra 50 feet around this thing. If that's, you know, that type of thing. You want to be aware. Also, HOAs, city ordinances, Most places.
Sometimes you might need a permit.
Right. Most places, unless you're in the country, they frown upon you just digging a hole in the front yard and putting some water in it.
Yeah, I would say. So that's one thing is that if you do all this work.
Can't really hide that.
Right. If you do all this work and then you're supposed to have a permit, you may have to undo all your work. I'm not really sure what you have to do, but you definitely want to make sure that you need a permit. If you are going to dig in your yard, you want to make sure that you call Digger's Hotline, 811.
No matter where you're at.
No matter where you're at, 72 hours before you're going to dig.
It's free.
It's free, yep.
It saves you from being fined by doing something you shouldn't do or digging where you shouldn't dig. And with any of these things, you want to be aware of what the ordinances are. And you may think, well, I just do what I want. Well, that's great. You've never, there's rules and everything.
I do what I want. Yeah.
Because whether you're putting a koi pond in the front yard in downtown Kansas City, Missouri, or you're building an outhouse in the North Woods of Wisconsin, permits based on the county you live in and permission and all this stuff is required.
Right. Another thing to
ask, ask a lot of questions so you know all the answers. As frustrating, as irritating as some of the rules may be, you need to know what you're getting into and do it right so you can don't have problems on the back end.
Absolutely. And another thing you want to think about is if there are leaves, like a tree, over where you want to put it, maybe you want to move it because, granted, some things like leaves, debris, yard debris could possibly fall into it, but you don't want to put it underneath a tree that is guaranteed because that could clog the drain or just becomes a hassle. Then you're frustrated and you're not getting your...
You're spending more time cleaning it than you are enjoying it.
Yeah, moments.
Just another thing to clean.
Right. and then think about, too, if it's something that you want to enjoy on a nice day when you're inside the house and maybe you want to hear that water feature sound, you could think about maybe, where the correlation is to inside your home, but that's not something huge to consider. Your budget is a definitely something that you would want to think about it. Are you going to DIY this? Are you going to hire somebody? Is it going to be custom? Is it going to be straight out of the box, et cetera?
There's a lot of things in which one can achieve and be very successful at by just doing some YouTube searches. However, YouTube searches and watching some videos does not give you 35 years of experience to know this is what I need to do when that happens.
Absolutely. And yeah, you want to trust the experts and definitely get all the information, take into that into consideration. Think about your goal. So maybe your goal is just to have a nice looking water feature, but maybe you have a neighbors who have a lot of noise next to you. And if you get something that's kind of loud, then you'll drown out their sounds.
Right. Also, a fun, healthy, happy fact here, tip. If you are going to hire somebody, whether it's a multi-billion-dollar corporation or Bill's Pond Service down the road or a family member, the first thing, anything you should do is write up an agreement. Here's what I want. Here's what I expect. And here's when I want it done. And here's the cost that we agree upon. So somebody can't say, you didn't tell me this, you didn't tell. So by legal standards, and we're not lawyers and we don't pretend to play, but you want to cover your rear end when it comes to any of these things. If you hire anybody, most reputable companies will have a contract for you. But if you're hiring a little do-it-yourself person, which is fine, you need to have paperwork and sign paperwork saying that this is what we've agreed upon. So nobody can say, you didn't tell me that.
Yeah, definitely want to make sure that you look out for yourself and all the facets of it. So maybe you, again, want a louder, water feature, more quiet one, then you need to look into that. And then your style. So maybe you have kind of a hodgepodge, put together backyard, and you just want something that's going to look okay and just make some noise and be meditative. Maybe you have a very specific style in your backyard and you want something to support that. It's all kind of based on what you're looking for.
And if you incorporate lights into this, whether front yard or backyard, what is the requirements per the city you live in that they can be on so long and then they have to be turned off during certain hours? It's a whole big thing, but if you do all of this correctly, it can be a great, wonderful additive to your property and to your relaxation. Instead of having to travel to a place where you can enjoy it, you can just walk out the back door or front door.
Yeah. And another thing to consider, back to the, if you're going to put fish into it, if there are birds of prey that mm-hmm. might swoop down and grab those fish, a lot of those
Why is that funny to you?
Because... I don't know.
You've watched too many nature programs.
It's very nature-esque. Yeah. Like, hey, I put this beautiful pond
here. There goes
here.
My $30 fish yeah. flying away.
Yeah. I mean, there are areas like that where yes. people with their small yep. dogs even yep. have to be, you know, worried.
Other reptiles, if you're in a more tropical yeah. area, snakes and small reptiles. Yeah. So, yeah, there's a lot of things to consider, but it can be greatly worth the investment personally for you if this is what you're wanting to do to help just add something to your property.
Finally, once yes. it's all, once you've made all these decisions, gotten the proper permits, you know, have it installed, you need to consider maintenance. So if it's something where you have to constantly, again, be cleaning it out, or, you know, maybe you are happy that you can just set it up in the spring and let it do its thing till the fall, whatever it may be, that is something to consider too. The once it's installed, then what?
Yeah. Is it like a pool, or like you have to put so much chemical in it, or what is the, yeah, what's the regiment there, and how can you do it, or are you going to hire somebody to do it? Well, Walton's Incorporated, waltonsinc.com, has everything you need for your backyard barbecue, your camping trip, or if you butcher or hunt your own animals, they've got everything you need except for the meat.
Yeah, we are brought to you today by our sponsor, Walton's Inc. We know you care where your food comes from. You can can, preserve, etc. But at Walton's Inc., you can get the equipment, seasoning, and supplies to make sausage, jerky, and any other meat product your way to your high standards. You want to make snack sticks that people will actually like. Walton's created MeatJustSticks.com, an informational site to help you make the best finished product. And Walton's even has a full line of their own meat grinders, mixers, sausage stuffers, and more to help you go from animal to edible. Walton's, everything but the meat. You can use code GROW50 to save 10% off your orders of 50 or more. And that's at WaltonsInc.com, GROW50. And the helpful website is MeatJustSticks.com.
When we come back, if you're not interested about incorporating a water feature to your property, how about a living wall? We're going to discuss what living walls are and how you can go about incorporating it for your property. You're tuned in to the Gardening with Joy and Holly radio show.
Got a question for Joey and Holly? Send it via email anytime to gardentalkradio@gmail.com.
Gripsticks produces American-made products with sleek designs and quality materials. Based and manufactured in Utah, they have high-quality and durable products that last a lifetime. They're built beyond tough. Their wool socks come from Rocky Mountain-sourced materials, are soft and comfortable, keep your feet warm and dry, and come with a lifetime guarantee. Even for the most sensitive toes, these socks are made for everyone. High-quality wool socks make a huge difference for happy feet. They fit in with all the many things you do, from around the house to the outdoors and beyond. They are comfortable and long-lasting. These socks are great for gardening because they keep your feet so comfortable no matter the conditions outside. It's hard to overstate how amazing these feel to have warm, dry feet as you work in your garden. Designed and manufactured in-house for the best results and quality every time. When you purchase from Gripsticks, you're supporting long life-cycle products and American-made manufacturing. Check out their belts, wallets, and socks at grip6.com. Use coupon code RADIO15 to save 15% off your order at grip6.com.
We know that you appreciate the value of a beautifully landscaped yard, but tackling such a project yourself can seem way too complicated, right? Bloomin' Easy Plants are the answer. Their plants are low maintenance and offer exceptional beauty and color for your yard. Plus, they offer free seasonal care reminders with simple how-to videos tailored to the plants that you choose. With Bloomin' Easy on your side, creating the yard that you've always wanted becomes as easy as plant, water, and relax. Check them out at your local garden center or by visiting BloominEasyPlants.com.
Mantis tillers, the premium long-lasting gas-powered tillers, are the perfect solution for any garden. This Mantis machine is available with 2 or 4 cycle engines with a 19-inch or 16-inch tilling width. Your DIY companion in your garden and your lawn converts easily for edging, aerating, and more with optional attachments. Find details at Mantis.com. Are you bugged by bugs? You need naturally green products, no more bugs, environmentally friendly, made in the USA. No More Bugs is a cedar blend that repels and eliminates mosquitoes, ticks, fleas, roaches, ants, and more. No More Bugs is safe for you, your pets, and plants. Visit nomorebugs.net for free shipping on orders over $50. Use code FREESHIP for me. Make watering easy. DripWorks provides quality drip irrigation supplies and equipment to gardeners just like you for all your growing needs across the U.S. and Canada. Purchase online at DripWorks.com.
Jung Seed Company is a family-owned and operated gardening company since 1907, with the largest selection of seeds and plants online. Use coupon code 10TG23 to receive 10% off your order at JungSeeds.com. Again, that coupon code is 10TG23. Worried about watering too much or too little? Tree diaper technology is the best way to stabilize your soil moisture in your garden, trees, or houseplants. Use coupon code GARDEN15 to save 15% off at treediaper.com. The Gardening with Joy and Holly radio show is brought to you by the following: DripWorks, Rise Gardens, Grip Six, Bloomin' Easy, Fleet Farm, Walton's Incorporated, Blue Ribbon Organics, Tree Diaper. Find all sponsors at thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com and thank them for their support. Welcome back to the Gardening with Joy and Holly radio show. Thank you for choosing us today to allow us to be part of your day. Living walls, Holly, but we're going to talk about that in a moment. But first, a message from our good friends at Farm Defense that has products to help you when you harvest and garden or farm.
Yeah, farm and garden in the ultimate comfort. Farmer's Defense has lightweight and durable sleeves made to protect you against the elements while farming. Farmer's sleeves offer unparalleled protection of arms and skin for any farmer, gardener, or outdoor worker. Say goodbye to irritated skin and sunburns in the garden. Their sleeves offer cooling comfort and protection against the elements outdoors. An alternative to thick clothing, Farmer's Defense is made of wicking material with UBF protection, factor 50 plus to protect you from allergens and scratches. To find all of their great products and more, you can visit farmersdefense.com. Joey wore his Farmer's Defense hat in the garden, and he really likes it.
Yeah, it keeps your head from baking in the sun and your shoulders as well. Living walls, and when you hear the term, it can mean many different different types of things. We're going to talk about both of them, a physical living wall or a barrier and a living wall that you create and hang on a fence or a building.
Right. So, yeah. So you can build indoor living walls or create indoor living walls where you put, like, quote unquote, office plants.
Mm-hmm.
And that is something that I think maybe we should talk about that in the fall. But as far as living wall here, we're talking about an outdoor living plant where you're typically putting annual plants. And what you want to consider there, this is something that you may put on a fence outside your home, or just literally like the side of your house, or maybe you build something to put it there as like a privacy type of thing too, with some posts and some growing cups or growing containers. So first thing you want to consider is where to put it. Where's the sun? Or maybe you specifically like certain shade plants and you don't have a shady spot to plant them in the ground or like a raised bed. You could do like a living wall.
Okay. And we can hang this on a fence. We can hang this. There's massive bags or sheets that have pockets in which you can plant in, and they will cascade down, whether it's a vine or a bush plant in your living wall. And
you can just do annuals too.
Well, true. Yeah, you can do annuals, and you can have it have irrigation set up on it, and you can just plant it, walk away, and forget it. Very easy to do.
There's a lot of guides online that show how to DIY it. And you can also, again, Joy had mentioned, like, there's, I think they're just kind of like a cloth type thing. Maybe it's like
a fabric. A fabric with pockets.
But there's also ones that have the little grow cups.
Correct. Framework where the cups lock in and then the plants grow at an angle.
So there's things to consider there. And how much space do you want one that's going to take? You know, you might think, okay, 6x4, that'll definitely fit there. Go outside with your tape measure and make sure that it is the correct size. Because you might think the fence you have might be longer or shorter or taller or whatever. And you don't know. So you want to make sure that there's that. And then also, can you get to that space?
When maintenance is required, how easy is it going to?
Shrubs in front of it or who knows? And if it's, if you have a shared fence,
yes,
make sure that you, you know, your neighbor knows that you're going to put something there.
Right. Is there any specific type of plants that would be good for this, or is it really the imagination?
So you would want to typically, in most places, you know, in the grow zones that we reach here, you want to do annuals for the most part because those are going to do better. So you would figure out, okay, this is a sunny spot. I get full sun all day long, morning to afternoon, and you can go find full sun plants. You can also do shade plants. You can, you know, if you know that it's going to have that shadiness, like maybe just only 6 hours a day of sun. Or if it's like really, really shaded, then you can find different non-flowering plants as well.
And this can be edible or non-edible. For example, if you have a living wall that faces south and you keep the water to it, the nutrients, you can grow herbs. You can grow cherry, Tiny Tim tomatoes. You could grow cucumbers on the lower half. You could do a lot of variations and turn that living wall into a living edible wall, kale, Swiss chard, that type of thing. But you want to be aware of the amount of soil in the pockets or the pots. Some plants are okay with that smaller amount. Other plants do really want a lot of soil to live in.
Absolutely. And yeah, you want to consider, you know, aside from flowering plants, what else you could grow. And another option is something, even if you are in a drier climate or a more arid climate, you can do a little like cactuses or succulents or whatever. That's another option for you. It's not going to necessarily fill out as much and look like a wall of plants, but it is an option.
And we talk about that type of living wall, but we can also talk about what a living wall such as a barrier or perimeter around your property. There's many different things in which you can add to that, whether that be spruce trees or arborvitaes or shrubs or some type of other green plant matter that can, you know, create that barrier. You don't have to have that white picket fence. You can create this shrubbery or hedge around to add more of a natural appeal to your residence.
Absolutely. And you can, there's a lot of different types of shorter shrubs that are fast growing that you can get to even make not so much of a wall, but like a shorter perimeter fencing around, a natural fencing around your yard. I know growing up we had this bush. I don't even know what kind of bush it was. And it definitely, we lived on a corner spot. And it definitely prevented a lot of people from just like running through our yard.
Taking the shortcut.
And the neighbors across the street had a bush like that too. Theirs had prickers on it.
Okay.
Yeah. So
you only make that mistake once.
Right.
But if you're going to do the in the ground living wall as a perimeter, a barrier, as a fence, it's going to be an investment because you're going to, you know, pick a number, 8, 9, 10 plants in order to space them correctly so in the coming years they grow into one another and create that that completely barricade or fence like area. As they're young, like arborvitaes, for example, you're going to have gaps between them, but you're going to have to give a little time for them to close in.
Another thing to keep in mind with that being said is that if you have a bunch of them, if one of those dies, which does happen,
yes,
then you are going to have this gap here until you replace it, and that replacement catches up with the other one.
The sad part about it is if you have six spruce trees, and the third one dies and you replace it, that third one's always going to be that little dip there because it's never going to catch up with the rest of them. You're always going to have an oddball out there. And unless you spend the extra money in order to find one that is very close to the height that the other ones that have been sitting there for 3 or 4 years are, in order to get that height equalization of the bush or tree, it's going to be a problem. But yeah, there is going to be plants that won't make it. And if you are really somebody who wants to do this, I'm going to plan ahead thing. If you need 8 by 10, plant 2 in the back. So in case one dies, you can just move that baby right up there and it's the same height as everyone else.
That's a smart idea, and just accepting the fact that, like, nature does whatever nature's going to do, and maybe you put this arborvitae wall up, and then you have a backup plan for another fence.
Yeah.
What have you.
And I'm just using arborvitae as an example. There's dozens of different types of shrubbery and trees and flowering plants or grasses in which you can line your perimeter with. And in, like for grasses, you'll have to cut them back. They will get, you know, with snow, they'll expand out and they'll be in the sidewalk and everything else. But there's an endless list of potential additions in which you can put around your property or down your driveway. If you have a long driveway and you want this very unique aesthetic appeal, you can really go crazy with, you know, and rose bushes, you know, that type of, there's a lot of different things in which you can create around your property.
Yeah, and another one is lilac bushes. Those are becoming, I feel like they kind of lost their appeal and now more people are wanting them again.
And they can get extremely big. Yeah. Arborvitaes can as well. Arborvitaes can get like 20 or 30 foot tall and get wide.
The important thing here is that they have that thick bush.
Yeah, it's a very thick wood.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's when somebody's trying to build a wall, quote unquote, that's what they want. They want something that...
And this will bring a lot of birds and wildlife in too.
Absolutely. And it can be a nice enhancement. And also, it's something that you can kind of play around with too. If you do your research and check out, you know, different resources, you can even get creative and maybe have like something that's a variation or something maybe in your front yard versus your backyard. There's a lot of
every
options.
Other plant is a different, you know, red, purple, you know.
Type I don't know of, if I would do that. But.
People do all kinds of neat things.
Absolutely, yeah. But you do take a little bit of a chance there, but it still can apply.
And you can do both of these, but yeah, if you're limited, you could do that living wall off a balcony, if allowed on a small scale, and doing an edible balcony, a living wall off the balcony. So it's a lot of different scenarios in which we can do a living wall that hangs with pockets or brackets in which pots can lock into, or the in the ground fencing or barrier or perimeter markings plants. So it's up to you. But again, the thing is, think ahead, plan ahead, much like we talked about in the first segment. Make a plan out on here's what you want done, and then do your research on here's how much it's going to cost, because with any job, that is the sticking point, is how much is it going to be? Is it going to be worth it? Can I afford it? Don't do something you can't afford in the hopes that you like it, and then it turns out not so much. Well, Holly, weather is warming up, and you will want to protect your garden from various beetles, weevils, borers, including, yes, those Japanese beetles.
And what better way to prevent those pests from destroying your garden than by controlling them while they are the larva? Grub Gone is an easy way to apply granular product that can be spread on your turf to successfully control grub invaders. Developed by Phylum Bioproducts from a naturally occurring bacteria, Grub Gone is a non-chemical BT product that specifically targets only certain scarab pests, and it's safe to use around bees and other beneficial insects.
Yes, and if you already have those Japanese beetles flying around, and some of you do, Beetle Gone is the organic water dispersible powder that you can spray directly on your edible plants. Find out more at phylumbioproducts.com. That's phylum bioproducts.com. Hang out with us when we come back. Podcaster and author Christy Purifay will be with us. You're tuned into the Gardening with Joey and Holly radio show.
Have a garden question? Give Joey and Holly a call now or anytime 24/7. Just dial 1-800-927-SHOW. If you can't get through, leave a message and they will call you back. Call now 1-800-927-SHOW.
Aqua-Mart.com has everything you need for eye-pleasing outdoor water features on your property. For over 25 years, we've been creating and field testing beautiful water features in order to provide you with the most reliable products and best value in the industry. From easy-to-install pond and water-filled kits to pumps, fish food, and more, you'll find everything you need to install and maintain a naturally balanced water feature in your yard. Make your backyard a true oasis and maintain it well. Visit aqua-mark.com to shop for all your needs. Deer Defeat is an all-natural based animal repellent to keep deer and rabbits away from your valuable plants that is odorless after 30 minutes and dries clear. It creates a continuous, invisible shield to protect your plants. Works for 30 days through rain, snow, and freeze. Will not clog your sprayer. Apply to your property without environmental damage. You can spray directly onto your plants up to flowering, then apply around your plants to continue protection. No need to reapply. Money back guarantee. To purchase, go to deerdefeat.com and use coupon code RADIO to save 10% off your order. You put a lot of time and energy in your garden, but without a rescue Japanese beetle trap, you can kiss that hard work goodbye. Asparagus annihilated. Raspberries ravished. Green beans, forget about it. Get those little invasive pests out of your garden and send them where they belong inside a rescue Japanese beetle trap. Now with available refill lures, rescue Japanese beetle traps can be used for multiple seasons. They're made in the USA by the makers of the popular Rescue Fly and Yellow Jacket traps. Learn more at rescue.com. That's RESCUE.com.
When I commit to someone, I want them to commit back to me for, you know, life. That's why I love Verlo Mattress. When you buy a Verlo, you get something nobody else offers, a commitment to helping you love your sleep for as long as you own your mattress with a lifetime comfort guarantee. Those other places, well, you get a measly 60, 90, maybe 120 nights. Not even close, guys. Wake up, sleep better, Verlo.
Hi, I'm Russell Taylor with Live Earth Products. I'm a soil health expert here to help you. Live Earth Products specializes in soil conditioners and fertilizers that will help you build healthy and vibrant flower and vegetable gardens. As our name describes, Live Earth means healthy soils. Live Earth Products are humic and fulvic soil amendments and are all natural, organic, and directly from our family mine in Utah. Live Earth Products are easy to apply and the results will blossom right before your eyes. Live Earth Products can be applied throughout the growing season. So pick up Live Earth Humate Soil Conditioner and Liquid 6 Humic Acid at your local garden center or on Amazon. Also available through our website, liveearth.com. That's LIVEARTH.com. Live Earth, here to bring vitality to life in your garden.
Fleet Farms Garden Center is now open. Stop in to check out their selection of nursery quality plants available at low prices. All of their plants are growing in the Midwest, and their vegetables are insecticide-free. Choose from annuals, perennials, shrubs, trees, and more. Plus, take care of your lawn with grass seed fertilizers, lawnmowers, and string trimmers. Get everything you need to keep your yard looking great at Fleet Farm, your lawn and garden headquarters. Dig planting holes from a comfortable standing position. Step, twist, pull, and plant. Visit ProPlugger.com.
Dripping Springs Oya's clay pot irrigation solves the watering needs for gardens, bushes, new trees, and more. An ancient irrigation system we brought to America. Dripping Springs Oya's, OLLAS, on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram. Check us out.
The Gardening with Joy and Holly radio show is brought to you by the following: Chapin Manufacturing Incorporated, Aqua-Mart, Soil Savvy, Wind River Chimes, Wisconsin Greenhouse Company, Pro Plugger, Deer Defeat, Dripping Springs Oyas, Phylum Bioproducts. Find all sponsors at thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com and thank them for their support. Welcome back to the Gardening with Joy and Holly radio show. Happy tuned in to the program today. Moments away, Christy Purifoy will be with us. But first, a word from Rise Gardens.
Rise Gardens is a revolutionary hydroponic gardening system for your home. Instead of food traveling hundreds or even 1,000 miles before it hits your plate, harvest the veggies, herbs, and greens you need for dinner tonight in the comfort of your home. No green thumb knowledge required. Gardening made easy with the Rise Gardens app. Step-by-step guidance from seed to harvest. A complete garden on a shelf comes with everything you need to grow healthy and the freshest food for you and your loved ones. Fully customize your garden to your needs and preferences. For more information to get your Rise Gardens, visit risegardens.com.
Holly, let's go to the hotline and bring in our guest for this week.
Christy Purifoy is an author, writer, gardener, and loves to grow gardens and community. She has written 2 memoirs and also co-hosts a podcast. Welcome to the program, Christy.
Thank you so much.
Well, we thank you for taking time out of your day. Not only you're about to educate Holly and myself, but all of our listeners. And I'll start with this. As gardeners, we do a lot of things solo or maybe with our families. How do you encourage gardeners to build a community and have a genuine connection?
Oh, right. Because community is so important, if only because I think we need real people to encourage us when it gets hard, to answer our questions, to take some of our zucchini. But seriously, going to the internet with a gardening question, it's like drinking from a fire hose. It's so overwhelming. So we need real people. So I suggest local garden clubs, classes. We have classes at a botanical garden in my area. There's also online gardening communities. Actually, I host my own membership community online. It's called the Black Barn Garden Club. And lastly, I think my favorite way to grow community, host a garden party. It doesn't have to be fancy, but just those two words, garden and party, don't they sound magical?
Drink responsibly.
That's right.
Fantastic. So you do co-host a podcast called Out of the Ordinary. Can you tell us more about it?
Yeah, I really think that we gardeners, we know that ordinary life is extraordinary. So for going on almost 5 years now, my co-host Lisa Jo, who's a longtime friend, she's also a writer and an author, she and I have been trading stories about ordinary life in order to help our listeners grow, and that's the key word, a daily life that matters. So it's not a gardening podcast, but I can't help but talk about my garden all the time because it has taught me so much and just enriched my life in so many ways. So ordinary life, it's good soil for building really extraordinary lives.
So it's kind of like a positive motivation podcast type of thing?
Exactly. Okay. All rooted in conversation between two really old friends who can talk about anything.
It sounds very peaceful and just encouraging. So that's awesome.
That's our hope. Yeah, we really want to help our listeners not seize the day, but see the day. When we have the right perspective, when we see the goodness that is already present, it really does change everything.
Amazing. So you have written two memoirs. Tell us about each of them and maybe something that would intrigue our listeners to either read one of them or both of them.
Yeah, so that's right. In addition to my two most recent garden book releases, I did write two memoirs. In the first, it's called Roots and Sky. I explored my love for home, for garden, for a rooted life. It tells stories from the first four seasons in our old farmhouse here in Pennsylvania. And then my second memoir is called Placemaker, and it's a memoir organized around the special trees that grew in each place that I have ever called home. And it's a book about putting down roots, even if you'll be moving on again.
Well, there is a proverb of some sort that says, blessed is the man who plants a tree but never watches it grow, or something like that, isn't it?
Yes, that's so important. Yes, yes, I love that.
So while you have these memoirs, you said you did have two other books as well, gardening books.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You want to touch on those?
Yeah. So I have two. One just came out actually this spring, one a year ago. The first is Garden Maker, and it is all about the magic of the garden. It is a full color book. My essays, photographs from my own flower garden, and it's really about the wonder and the magic of growing flowers. And then the most recent one is called A Home in Bloom. And this book is all about bringing the goodness of the garden into our homes all four seasons of the year in order to really bring them to life.
Sounds wonderful. So many people find peace in the garden, as do you. I know myself, I do as well. What are some ways that you continue to renew that peaceful feeling season after season, year after year?
Yeah, oh, that's a good question, because I do think that that peace is something that needs regular renewal. I think even gardeners need a fallow season like our soil. And so I feel really blessed to garden in a place with a real winter. It makes it clear when my rest period is. By the end of a growing season, like many gardeners, I feel worn out. I am not even sure I can keep doing it. But then over winter, I feed my love for gardening by reading gardening books, poring over, you know, my seed and plant catalogs. I also watch a lot of Gardener's World on the BBC with Monty Don. And I think in these ways, I sort of remember what it is to dream again and to be hungry for my garden, for the food I grow, the flowers. And usually that means by spring, I know again how much I need it, so that even if it gets hard in summer, it gets hot, the weeds get out of control, I know how much I need it. I know that I won't always have it. And so I can persevere. And when I persevere, that peace is there at the end of a hard day's work. And I'm so grateful.
Now, you brought up Monty Don over in the UK on the BBC. For people in the United States who are not familiar with that name, he is basically the go-to garden guy when it comes to anything gardening, isn't he?
He is, and he's been such an encouragement to me because he does have that really peaceful presence in his garden. So, yeah, I watch old episodes, you know, wherever I can find them on the internet since I'm not in the UK. But just that really peaceful, calming feeling of that show is so important because gardening can be, you know, we can reduce it to a list of chores and to-dos and busyness. And I know sometimes I'm just running around my garden, but just the feel of that show reminds me to – well, I guess to sit and smell the roses, listen to the bird song.
I always think about that verse, for everything there's a season and a time for every matter under heaven. And yeah. I think about how, especially as I get quote unquote older, how I appreciate the feeling of the turning of the seasons and the renewal or whatever it may be for that season, or the slowdown of the late fall and the winter. And really just appreciating that I have the opportunity to feel those four distinct seasons, even though sometimes they like spring kind of blends into summer, et cetera. But yeah, I get where you're coming from when you're looking forward to the slowing down.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, I gardeners, we tend to stay home. We can't always travel because our gardens need us. But just staying in one place and observing the movement of the seasons, it's like the world is traveling around me, even if I am staying in one place. So I think that's another reason, just the change and the constant shifting. There's always something new.
Well, with what is a major garden mistake that you have learned from that you know that you're never going to do again, or that you see other people do that you cringe at, going, they shouldn't be doing that?
Yeah. Well, I'll name two. Other people, the thing that drives me nuts because I care about trees so much are those mulch volcanoes where the mulch is piled around the tree. But for me, I have made many mistakes. Now, they're the best way to learn, really. But a big one for me was weaving the canes of my first New Dawn climbing rose in and out of its supporting lattice, because I had no idea how those thin, pliable rose canes, how they would grow into really thick wood, so that a few years in, I couldn't prune that rose without also tearing apart the arbor it was growing on. It was a terrible mistake, and the rose was so beautiful, but I have learned, and now when I plant my climbing roses, I tie them in, I leave them kind of on one side so that I always have the option to, you know, lift them up to do the pruning instead of weaving them in as if they were honeysuckle or something.
Well, these people and these who make the volcanoes with the mulch around the trees, these are people that should know better. These are people that own businesses.
Yes,
you know,
exactly. Yeah, and I think that's why I don't mind calling them out, because they are not just, you know, home gardeners doing their best, but they are professionals and they should know better.
And well, you've seen this too in the professional realm of landscaping. It's go, 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 next job, next job, next job. Don't care.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
Yeah, you're right. And really good gardening is rooted in a relationship with a place. You know, it's when we care for our place. I think that's what makes us good gardeners.
Well, a lot of people have lost that careness that is needed.
Yeah.
When you're up in Pennsylvania, and what do you find as a challenge for you to grow? What is something that you've struggled with that you're going, I probably shouldn't try this again, but I'm going to?
Oh, I know right away. So I've mentioned roses here a few times. Well, I love roses. I love especially the David Austin English roses that bloom all summer. But what I have found is I don't live in a great climate for roses. You know, such high humidity. Our winter spring temperatures are really all over the place. You know, very cold, the temperature swing is quite extreme, and that puts so much stress on these roses. And then the roses are trying to bloom all summer. So I can keep them going for a few years, maybe if they're in a protected place, but generally they are just going to get really unhealthy for me a few years in because they're giving so much and they're struggling against, you know, so much. I didn't even mention the Japanese beetles. Oh, yeah. So what I've started to do is to plant more and more of the one-time blooming, the heirloom roses, because they give such a show. And then they are just a sort of nice green shrub, and the beetles don't even notice them. And then I get to look forward to them next spring. And yet, even though I've admitted all of this, I am still buying those David Austin roses. I can't stop myself.
Now are you planting these roses in the ground as a long term, or you're in containers, or both?
I do both. Lately, though, I'm tending to do more in containers. I can put them in a sheltered spot. I can enjoy them for a few years and then not feel quite so bad if they end up on the compost pile. And they're gorgeous in containers. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, roses definitely can be versatile, that's for sure. So mm-hmm. How can people find out more about you? We really enjoyed having you on the program. And how can our listeners find out more about you?
Oh, I'm so glad. Well, my one-stop shop is christiepurifoy.com. So that's christiepurifoy. And on my website, folks can sign up for my weekly newsletter, find links to my social media like Instagram, learn more about all my books, podcasts, all of it. That's probably the best place to head.
Well, Christy, we thank you very much for the time you've offered us and the education you provided Holly and myself and all of our listeners. We thank you for that.
Oh, you're so welcome. It's been a real privilege. Thank you.
Thank you. And when we come back, it's your garden questions, our garden answers. When you're tuned in, the Garden with Joy and Holly radio show.
Got a question for Joey and Holly? Send it via email anytime to gardentalkradio@gmail.com.
Garden like a pro in 3 easy steps and receive customized fertilizer recommendations for your garden or lawn. Soil Savvy helps you determine what nutrients your plants need to thrive. Never again overapply nutrients they don't need. A patented process that makes you a smart gardener. To get your soil test kit, go to mysoilsavvy.com.
Rootmaker starts your plants off right and keeps them going through harvest. From their seed starting trays with an innovative design that air prunes the roots to their large variety of grow bags, 1 to 60 gallons, their products will provide you the harvest you've never seen before. Visit rootmaker.com and use coupon code radio23 to save 15% off your order at rootmaker.com. Jung Seed Company is a family-owned and operated gardening company since 1907, with the largest selection of seeds and plants online. Use coupon code 10TG23 to receive 10% off your order at jungseeds.com. Again, that coupon code is 10TG23.
Wind River Chimes creates a symphony in any space. Chimes that are inspired by nature and designed to make the natural world even more inspiring. Music speaks to everyone. Individually handcrafted in Virginia for over 35 years and hand-tuned for an exceptional precision and lasting beauty. Because in life, the winds of change are always moving. But no matter where they carry you, Wind River Chimes will always be the inspiring harmony. With a large selection of customization options, you will find the sound that soothes you. Visit windriverchimes.com to shop and find out more.
Tree Hugger sprinklers are the ultimate watering device for either your newly planted or established trees and shrubs. Our sprinklers open and close around the trunk of your tree and provide 360 degrees of watering. With our adjustable valve, you can direct the water to your tree's targeted saturation zone. They come in 3 sizes, 7, 11, and 15 inches. You can purchase a Tree Hugger sprinkler at your local garden center, feed store, or hardware store. Go to treehuggersprinklers.com to find a retailer close to you. Or you can buy it directly from Amazon or treehuggersprinklers.com. If you're an independent nursery, garden center, hardware store, or feed store, you will want to stock this product. Contact the good people at Tree Hugger Sprinklers and they will get you set up. Your tree's best friend. TreeHuggerSprinklers.com. Blue Ribbon Organics, providing locally made organic compost and soil blends for gardeners, farms, landscaping, and more. To find our products nearest you, visit BlueRibbonOrganics.com. Chapin has the tools for planting your garden and keeping it growing all season long. Whether your garden is big or small, Chapin has sprayers and spreaders for fertilizing, weed, and pest control. watering, and seeding. You can find Chapin products at your local hardware store, big box retailer. You may visit them also online at ChapinMFG.com to learn more and buy online. The Gardening with Joy and Holly radio show is brought to you by the following: Happy Leaf LED, Root Maker, Jung Seeds, Tree Hugger Sprinklers, Verlo Mattresses, Farmers Defense, Pomona Universal Pectin, Natural Green Products, Mantis Tillers. Find all sponsors at the WisconsinVegetableGardener.com and thank them for their support. Welcome back to the Gardening with Joy and Holly radio show. Thank you for being with us today and letting us be part of your day. Time for garden questions and answers. If you've got a question, we've got an answer for you. You can certainly submit that over to us. Two different avenues, one being our email address, which is gardentalkradio@gmail.com, gardentalkradio@gmail.com, or you can give us a call anytime, 24/7. If we can't get to you during the show, leave a message and we'll call you back. That number, 1-800-927-SHOW, 1-800-927-7469.
We have a question that is sponsored by Fleet Farm and fleetfarm.com. I read about putting Epsom salt in the soil when you plant tomatoes. It's supposed to have a variety of benefits. Any thoughts on that?
Okay. Epsom salt does have some benefits to the soil because it's adding magnesium sulfate. However, adding too much Epsom salt can disrupt and affect your pH level of your soil. So a general rule of thumb is if you want to apply some Epsom salt at the time of planting, yeah, you can throw a tablespoon in at the whole Epsom salt. You can use, you can dissolve 2 tablespoons of Epsom salt in 1 gallon of water and, water that once a month. If you're going to do that way, I would throw, a tablespoon or a handful in at the time of planting the tomatoes. It's not going to hurt anything. You can do it with your peppers. You can do it with any of them. But just 2 tablespoons of two tablespoons dissolved in a gallon of water once a month would be fine. Well, normal amount of water, whatever your watering can is. Hopefully that answers the question. It is good, but too much is bad. Be careful how much you add. All right, Holly. I have a question about some things we canned a while ago. I read that water bath canned foods, pickles, jams, etc., are only good, say, for a couple of years. Then they should be discarded, even if the seals are still good. I'm reluctant to throw them out, food away, because it still appears to be safe. But probably I should throw it away out of caution. What do you think?
Well, yes. So anything that you can, it's best within, anything that you home can is best within the first year. Now, it doesn't mean that as soon as it hits 1 year, that thing in that jar is going to explode or something like that or go immediately bad. But what you want to do is you want to practice like first in, first out, so that if you do have some, say you canned some leftover jam last spring and now you're canning more jam, you want to make sure you start using that jam that you canned last spring or summer now instead of letting it go to waste. I would say 2 years is probably safe. I wouldn't go much past like 3, definitely not 4. And it also depends on what it is. Pickles, like cucumber pickles, are going to get mushy and gross.
Yeah, slime.
Yeah.
Now, if you're getting to that, let's say you've made pickles in 1 year and you still got it, you can do like pickle relish. You can take those pickles and utilize them in a different manner. However, the wonderful It's Great Pickles, that's probably not going to happen.
Right.
And is there one that lasts, like, are we talking like fruit, you can get a little bit more out of it versus a vegetable?
I would say
or a pressure canned item?
I would say that tomatoes are probably going to be your longest lasting one just because they're typically so acidic as is.
Well, when you say longest lasting, you're talking like 2 years
freshness,
max?
Yeah. Even like 3 years.
I know in our pantry there, and we just never got around to it, there's some jam that is like 11 years old.
It's probably boozy.
Yeah. Oh, we've got pear juice that's 10 years old. It absolutely is boozy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's another thing is that you can, if it's like been a year and a half and you don't feel comfortable about it or you're not sure, you can sniff it. I would say that if you want to make sure that you are on the safest side, just make sure you're rotating it through. You are making what you know you're going to eat and consume. Or if it's getting close to the year, maybe give it to somebody.
Yeah, we can't make that decision for you. That is your responsibility. Is it safe to use treated lumber to make raised beds?
It absolutely is. You can do that to make raised beds. There's no issue there.
It has now been treated with a copper treatment, not an arsenic treatment like it was back 20, 30 years ago. And that's why when the question comes up, can I use railroad ties as a perimeter for my raised bed? Perennial flowers, yes. Vegetables, no, because that arsenic can leach into the soil. Now, the copper, which is in the treated lumber, can leach into the soil. However, copper is an element on the periodic table that is required for human life to operate, all life. So a little bit is not going to be detrimental. If you are concerned about other chemicals that are used in the pressure-treated process, then that is for you to figure out what is best for your garden. But for Holly and I, all of our raised beds are pressure-treated lumber that is commercially available, that's been treated with a copper additive instead of an arsenic.
So let's see. We also have a statement. I got a red onion from the supermarket and put it in a pot indoors, and then after a while it started to come up with flowers with seeds. Now I will dry the seeds and I can start the production of red onions. So basically, red onions are biannual. They are going to grow the first year, and then they will seed the second year. And then, yes, you can grow those seeds, and that will become an onion.
However, if you don't know, if you grew the onion last year and it's doing that, that's fine. But if like this person, he got it or she got it from the supermarket, that onion could have traveled from Florida or California or New Mexico or Texas or wherever. And if you do not know the origins of that onion, meaning the geographical area in which it was grown, because the United States is divided into three geographical areas: long day, northern portions; midday, central portions; and short day, southern portions of the United States. All onions' development is determined by the sun duration on the plant. So in the northern hemisphere, we get much more length of sun, and that is why we grow long day. Neutral day in the central portion, like Washington, D.C. to St. Louis to San Francisco, kind of north and south of that line. And then the south takes a lot shorter time frame in order for them to grow. So if you're trying to grow a long day in Louisiana, you're not going to get bulbing. You're going to get top growth, but no bulb. But if you're trying to grow a short day in Milwaukee, you're going to get top growth and no bulb because they are not getting the adequate day length light requirement for proper bulb development. So keep that in mind. Yeah, that's great. You can do that. But if it's coming from a region in which you're living in, or if you've saved onions last year, they've gone to green, they started sprouting in the pantry, you plant them in the ground to get the seeds from them, then yes. Also, fun fact, a lot of garden centers, at least the big box stores, they carry all three varieties, at least the last time I checked. They carry, if you're in, you know, the north here, they have, you know, short day, long day, neutral day. So you need to be aware of what the variety is that you're wanting to grow in the area you're at and the name of it and what category it falls under. All right, Holly, I'm in Ohio, zone 6, I think. How do I calculate my planting season?
So you can base it off your first and last average frost date. See, what you want to do is you want to go to your favorite search engine and put first frost date and last frost date, and then put your zip code, and that will give you the framework, your growing zone, your frost dates, etc., and that will give you an idea like where our station is in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. We're zone 5.
Yes.
B, yeah. And our last average frost date is like April 15th.
Mm-hmm.
And our first is like October 15th.
Somewhere in that range.
Somewhere
on a good
range.
Year.
Yeah, a good year. Who knows anymore?
Well, and
then that gives us an idea.
Right. And in 2016, we didn't have a frost until November 18th. We had non-frost growing times 30 days before our average last and 30 days after our average last. So we had almost 6 full months of no frost. It got close several times, but it didn't frost. So it's an average of the last 10 years in your area. So just because that happened in 2016, it hasn't happened since then, and it's 2023 now, the likelihood of that happening is very rare. So you want to keep that in mind. Well, Holly, with that being said, we are out of time, and we thank you for yours. Miss any portion of the program today or would like to revisit it? Hey, you can do that by going to your favorite search engine and searching for the Gardening with Joy and Holly radio show. You can also send us an email to gardentalkradio@gmail.com, and we will send you a link to the program and get you caught up. Tune in next week to the program where we'll be discussing growing watermelon. You can do it in northern areas. You just got to know what to do in order to be successful. As well as we're getting to that time of year where you're going to have a lot of zucchini. What to do with all that zucchini? We've got a number of possibilities besides throwing it out and giving it away. Our guest is author Laura Elkerson, author and a bird expert, and how to bring birds on your property, which is a good thing, and how to keep them from eating your vegetables. All that and more, and we'll answer your garden questions. So until next week for
Holly Baird,
I'm Joey Baird, and we will see you in the garden.